In the collect of today's Mass, we pray, O Father, by the foreseen death of the Son, thou didst preserve the Mother from all stain of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Sometimes at Christmas, you might hear a bit of that marvelous praise of God from the pen of the poet Dante, his Divina Commedia. In the Italian, it reads, O Vergine Madre Filia di tuo Figlio, O Virgin Mother, Daughter of thy Son. That's a profound thought. Stay with it a bit on this feast. The praises of Our Lady demand poetry because the mystical meaning far surpasses mere prose. She gave her son, Mary did, everything that a mother could give to her child. She endowed him with her human nature, with her own body and blood. But she owes her sinless soul to her son, immaculate from the first instant of its conception, because the Father foresaw that the Son would die crucified to the cross and shed the last drop of his precious blood to redeem her in first place. Thus it is that our Lord died to preserve his mother from sin by the shedding of his blood. Now, this other thought, think of it sometimes, especially on Our Lady's days, when you hear Mass, the blood that I consecrate in the chalice this morning is the same blood that was shed by God the Son to preserve his mother from original sin. This is no poetry. It is a profound truth of the holy sacrifice. And that is symbolized, you know, by the mystical death of the double consecration. But let me tell you this morning about something most Catholics don't know, the magnificent meaning and the depth of the fraction or the breaking of the sacred host at Mass. Fraction, breaking, the word itself indicates destruction or death, as in, he broke her heart. As in Father Faber's hymn, Mother of God, he broke thy heart that it might wider be. In a moment, we will consider the many meanings of this mystical rite, the breaking of the bread, so that we might be fed with the same body and the blood which he received from his immaculate mother. His death, which is our life and our peace, his resurrection, it is all here in one rite, one ceremony of the Holy Mass. So the priest, having concluded the prayer, Liberanos, deliver us, O Lord, remember he says that with his paten in hand, standing up on the altar at the right hand of the corporal. The priest then takes the sacred host between thumb and forefinger, both hands, and holding it over the chalice, he reverently breaks the host in half. Listen for the sound at Mass. It is the death of Christ. As he breaks the host, he says, through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. The right half of the host is returned to the paten, and from the left, the priest breaks off a small portion of the lower host, as he says, who liveth and reigneth with thee. Then he places the left half of the host on the paten, so that the host again looks joined and complete. He says, in the unity of the Holy Ghost. Then holding the small particle he has detached over the chalice, he says out loud, Per omnia saecula saeculorum, world without end. And then making three signs of the cross with it, he says, May the peace of the Lord be always with you, and drops the particle into the precious blood, purifies his fingers, genuflects, and covers the chalice with the palm. Then, as he genuflects, he concludes the final prayer, asking that this consecration and commingling of body and blood be our communion unto life everlasting. This is the Good Friday through Easter Sunday part of every Mass. These 3 days of eternal destiny, mystically renewed in less than 3 minutes, the fraction. The term breaking of the bread is the oldest title of the Mass. You see it used in the New Testament. Christ's violent and bloody death caused 3 separations so that you and I should no longer be separated from the good God. The first, the separation of body from the blood, he bled out. Remember, we saw that this summer. That was how the Savior died. Second, the separation of body from soul, that's the definition of death. And third, the separation of the body, the blood, and then the soul of Christ on Good Friday. The fraction takes place over the chalice because the blood flows down from his crucified body. We are meant to consider at this point as well our Lord's mystical body, which is crucified today as never before. The fraction represents the piercing of Christ's side with the lance and the blood and the water which St. John saw flowing forth. You know that gospel. We have it so often on the first Friday. Jesus, according to Scripture, is the new Adam now of a new human race. He sleeps in the death of the cross. Remember how Eve was first created from the side of Adam? So is the new Eve, the bride, who comes forth from his side, the church, Holy Mother Church, Immaculate, like our Blessed Mother. The priest makes 3 signs of the cross with the host. For the 3 hours our Lord suffered on the cross, and for the 3 branches of the church militant, us here on earth fighting, the church suffering, and then the church triumphant in heaven. The priest, after breaking the host, lays it so reverently on the paten, gently putting it back together as you would a body that had been broken in death before burial. As our Lord was laid in the arms of his Blessed Mother, the 13th station of the cross. Our Lady at this point is like a consecrated paten to receive the body of her well-beloved son. But the fraction of the host is the breaking of bread, the preparation for our Holy Communion, that we should be fed. On Calvary, the prophecy of Exodus that is chanted on Good Friday and again on Holy Saturday at the Easter Vigil was strictly observed. Not a bone of him shall you break. That's in one of the prayers, the indulgence prayer before the crucifix, which we often say as a thanksgiving after Holy Communion. But now the sacred species, the host, is broken. St. John Chrysostom says, what was not permitted on the cross is now done to feed our souls. Did you know it's not actually considered polite at table to cut your bread with a knife? There was a seminarian years ago, a German seminarian at Bishop Seminary, and they had just moved to Florida, and it was all crowded quarters. We all sort of ate together when I visited. And he had the most curious custom. He would get himself a slice of bread first thing, and then he would slowly and very methodically, he was German, butter it with lots of butter, and then he would cut it in half, and then he would consume it first thing. But actually, what you're supposed to do is what our Lord did, what they've done since the beginning, the ancient Hebrews did. That is to say, you're meant to break the bread into pieces. You're meant to, it should be a little piece about enough for one or two bites, nothing more. Well, that's what our Lord did. That's what Father does now symbolically. The sacrifice renewed today in an unbloody manner is the sacrament, our food, Holy Communion. We're meant to receive at Mass. There's the priest waiting in the confessional. And how easy a fast is imposed on us anymore. 3 hours if you can't do without breakfast. 1 hour for your morning juice and coffee. Our Lord wants you to participate in the Mass in the highest form by receiving him, if at all possible. One last symbolism is found in the breaking of the sacred host. It is the sign and the pledge of unity and of peace. Not wandering around as they do at the Novus Ordo, shaking hands with everybody, oh no. In the early centuries, as a sign of peace and unity, the Pope would send a little particle from his host, which was very large back then, to the different cardinal priests of Rome. And at this point of the Mass, they would put that particle into their chalice as a sign of their unity with the Holy Father, with the Catholic Church, through the Pope. The Pope, on his part, would put a little piece of the Sacred Host from the last Mass that he had celebrated, which was kept in a beautiful sort of a casket and presented to him at the beginning of Mass. And the Pope would prostrate on the floor in adoration. And then when the time came for the fraction, he would put that particle into his chalice, as well as the particle of the host he had consecrated just now, as a sign of the unity of the continual sacrifice, the unity of the Mass and the Church. With a little portion that he detaches now from the host, the priest makes 3 signs of the cross, we've said, to symbolize that Christ is the author and the source of true peace, as St. Paul insists, making peace through the blood of his cross. Then finally, he drops a portion that he broke off into the precious blood. That represents the dropping part, the descent of our Lord's soul into hell. Descended ad inferos. He descended into hell. And then when this particle falls into the precious blood, that represents the resurrection. Why? Because the body and the blood are joined together again. And the soul and the divinity, our Lord has risen from the dead. He whom we receive died and rose for us. He is the Lamb. He is the living and the whole Christ. One of the deepest parts of the Mass, this, and so practical in its application. Our Lord means that we, his members, should also be broken. It is no accident, you know, like dropping a glass that shatters on the kitchen floor. Our wills must somehow be broken. Most people get this wrong. They think that peace is to be found in true happiness. They get everybody else to follow their own will. And religion's a matter of figuring out how to get God to do my will, too. Our Lord has a different viewpoint. It is only by means of a painful process that he procures for us true peace. How does that work? Well, it might be some work you don't like to do. It might be being misunderstood or let down by people. It might be losing those you love by death, or being torn from familiar ties and affections, things that you thought you could never do without, but you do. Well, you see, somehow our Lord has got to break our wills to make us give in to him. Then comes the peace. Only when our will is broken do we know real peace. Then the resurrection, the mending of the broken thing, putting it back together again, better than ever. The fraction, the breaking, that's for us. I close again with the same poet, the great Dante. Nella sua volontà nostra pace, in his will is our peace. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.